What's up, everybody? How we doing? Awesome. Well, it's so good to see you guys. Super excited for tonight. We start a new three-week series called Clutch. Now, here's the thing. I've been made aware of something, that a clutch is also a woman's purse. Is that right? Okay, so we're not talking about purses, all right? But when we say clutch, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about, what do you do when it matters most? And some of the questions, like, how do you keep from choking when you're under pressure? Or when everyone is watching, how do you make sure that what you need to do or what needs to be done? So we're going to talk about some of these things in this series called Clutch. And some of you guys, the reality is, maybe you've watched this happen in real life. Maybe you've experienced being the clutch person in real life. Maybe you've hit the game-winning shot, or you have hit the game-winning home run, which I've always wondered, what would it feel like to hit the game-winning home run, trotting around the bases? I was a terrible baseball player, so it never happened for me, but maybe for you guys, you've experienced something like that, or maybe you've watched it on TV, or maybe you've caught it on YouTube. So we've seen clutch moments. We've seen moments in sports, right, that when the game's on the line, when somebody's got to step up to the plate, or somebody's got to make a move or do something to change the direction of the game, right? People who are clutch step up. So I've got a video that I want to show you. This is a video of Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant and Stephon something. And so I want you to watch this, and I want you to watch what happens in the clutch. Check it out. So I love that, right? Because it shows what happens in the clutch, right? That when the game is on the line, somebody's got to hit a shot, and he makes it. But did you guys notice that there were 2.4 seconds left in the game? So you thought the game was over. Let's watch the full clip and see what happened. Check it out. I love your reaction, because that's what happens, right? We all get into those moments, those clutch moments, that when it matters the most, somebody hits the shot. Somebody hits the shot. And the reality is, those stories, man, they just do something inside of us, man. We just get excited, right? That's why it makes it on ESPN, or it becomes a YouTube sensation. We live for it. There's just something in us that identifies with, man, that is just cool. Even if it's not us, right? It's still cool to watch. It's still cool to be a part of. And you guys saw Bryce Drew. That was in the 1998. Nobody expected Valparaiso, right? Valparaiso is a college, and nobody expected them to win, but he hit that game-winning shot, and they would actually go on a couple more rounds in the NCAA tournament. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a huge North Carolina Tar Heels fan. Huge. But I'm not living in denial, so I'm not thinking they're going to go to the Final Four, because they're not. I'm just hoping that they make it to the Sweet 16. You know what I'm saying? Sweet 16. But we love, even if you don't love sports, because some of us, man, we don't like sports. Sports is just, I would rather watch, something else other than a basketball game, some of you. And even if you don't like sports, you get into the moments, right, where something like that happens. That's why we love people who come through in the clutch. But here's what happens. Is there tends to be two things that people that come through in the clutch, either they have a combination of these things, or it's one or the other. We either blame it and we say, man, that was luck, or man, they're just super talented. So a guy hits a game-winning shot, and we're like, man, that was so much luck. Dude, if he had that chance again, he'd probably miss it 10 times out of 10, which could be true. It could be luck. Or we just say, man, they're just better than I am. They're just really talented. They're just really, really good at what they do, right? And so we think it's all about luck, or it's all about talent. And don't get me wrong, there's a combination of that at some point, and at some times, people are more talented, people get lucky, okay? Like, if I ever hit a baseball, it would be luck. I was a terrible baseball player, right? Softball, though, is a different story. The ball does come a little slower, so it's easier to hit, right? But That's why we say those types of things, right? But here's the thing. I think the reason we do that is because we've got to have something to blame it on. It was luck, it was talent, because luck and talent are things that you can't control. There are things that I can't control, but the truth is that clutch, being clutch, knowing what to do when it matters the most, actually has nothing to do with luck, and it has nothing to do with talent, but it's all about hard work. Another word for that is training. So if you want to, I want you to grab your outlines out, and I want to give you a statement that we're going to rally around tonight. You want to take notes, you can. There's some fill in the blanks, and I'd love for you to grab your Bibles either in front of you or underneath you, and you can turn open with me to page 1194, like it says at the top of your outline. Here's the statement. Here's the statement. Part of it is going to make sense to you, and part of it is not, and we're going to get there. But here it is. Daily training leads to godly triumph. Let me say it again. Daily training leads to godly triumph. And see, when we look all across the board at some of the best athletes, some of the people that know how to come through in the clutch, if you will, we don't find luck and we don't always find talent, but we find training. We find people that work hard. We find people that day by day by day by day train their body to do what is right in the right moment. Maybe it's shooting free throws over and over and over again, going to the batting cage and taking pitches over and over and over again. Maybe it's not sports. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's academics. And so you do your homework over and over and over again. Some of you guys do that. Some of you guys don't. Let's just be real, right? But you train yourself. You work hard. It's not about luck. It's not about talent. Now, here's what I would say. I would say the king of basketball is not LeBron James. It's not LeBron James. I would say, and you would have to make a really good argument to disagree with me, I would say the king of the court is Michael Jordan. The king of the court. Now, I want to talk to you for a second about Michael Jordan. Now, my opinion, which doesn't have to be yours, and I'm cool with that. You're wrong and I'm right. My opinion is that Michael Jordan is the king of the court. He is the best basketball player to ever lace up the shoes. He is the best. But here's what's interesting about Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan came into the NBA from the University of the North Carolina Tar Heels, when he came into the NBA, analysts began to analyze his game very quickly. The first 2 to 3 years, this is what they were saying about Michael Jordan. Man, I don't know if Michael Jordan can do it. I don't know if he's good enough to take his team to the championship. Because here's the thing, you got to be able to do more than just shoot the ball. He can shoot the ball, but you got to be able to do more. You got to be able to play defense. You got to be able to slide your feet. You got to be able to raise your arms and you get down in a crouch position. You can't just worry about scoring on the offensive end. You got to be able to do something on the defensive end. And so years or a couple years into his career, people were asking these questions. They were wondering, can he do it? Is he good enough? Well, he's the king of the court. He won 6 NBA championships. So yes, he can do it. And here's what's interesting about Michael Jordan. At the end of his career, they were interviewing his head coach, Phil Jackson. I'm a little passionate about Michael Jordan, if you can't tell. They were interviewing Phil Jackson, and this is what they said. They said, Phil, what is it that stands out about Michael Jordan? And this is what Phil Jackson said. This is what he said about Michael Jordan. This is what he says. Phil Jackson said, when Michael Jordan came into the NBA, his greatest weakness was his defense. But he has told me time and time and time again, repeatedly, that it was his goal to make his greatest weakness his greatest strength. And when Michael Jordan left the NBA, he was known as one of the greatest defenders in the game. Now, how did that happen? Because he worked hard. Because he trained. Was he talented? Of course he was. But was he lucky? No. Because he trained himself. He worked hard every day on his defense, on his stance, sliding his feet, knowing the offensive plays, knowing what to look for. Michael Jordan became one of the greatest defenders, not because he was so good at basketball, but because he disciplined himself day by day in the mundane of life and wanted it. And the truth of tonight is, the question that I have is, what does it take to be clutch in life? What does it look like when it matters the most that you know what to do? Because here's what we know. We know that being clutch is not just about being on the court or being on the field or being in the classroom. Being clutch happens a lot off the court. It happens in the everyday, day-by-day flow of life. See, because what happens is that pressure builds. See, clutch is that moment when the pressure is on you, whatever it takes, you do it. And the pressure builds upon us. I would say that you guys as middle school students, man, you have a ton of pressure that is put on you. It could be academic and you wanting to make all A's, which is a great goal, but you have a lot of pressure to do that. It could be to be the most popular. You put a lot of pressure on yourself for that. It could be to be the best player on the team. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be good and wanting to do your best, but you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you want to be the best. And when you're not, or when something happens, then you take it hard. And so pressure builds in life. And what happens when we have pressure on us from all sides? Maybe the pressure comes at home and you argue with your parents. And when your parents yell at you, you feel pressure. Maybe the pressure is within a friendship. And your friends do things to you that you don't like or you don't appreciate. Maybe your pressure is within a relationship that you're involved with in your life. The truth is that we all deal with pressure. We all deal with moments where we're pressured. But here's the bottom line. I'm going to go back to it. Daily training. That's the key, students. Daily training leads to godly triumph. Bible says it like this. Paul was talking to a mentor of his. He was discipling a guy named Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to read with me on page 1194, this is what it says. It says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be godly." Well, what is happening is Timothy is discipling this guy, or Paul is discipling this guy named Timothy, and he's saying, hey, listen, Timothy, here's what you need to know. There's going to come a day when people that you do life with, people in your community, man, they are going to abandon their faith. They're going to start believing things that are not true. They're going to start believing in myths. And like he says, old wives' tales, things that are not true. But not you, Timothy. Not you. You have to train yourself in godliness. You must train yourself in godliness. And I think if Paul could rewrite the script over again, he would say, Timothy, not you. You have to train yourself in godliness every single day, daily. That's what he would say. And then it continues and he says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." See, students, we see value in physical training, right? There is nothing wrong with taking care of your body. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. And so we see there's a value in physical training. There's a value in some of you play sports and you run and you take care of yourself and you eat well. I don't. I need to. But you take care of yourself. And so there's value in that physical training. There's value in that. But this is what Timothy says, or Paul. He says, but godliness has value. Not only for the life on the earth, not only for your physical life on earth, but godliness has value for your life to come. In other words, godliness holds value for what comes next, eternity. And here's what I know about the people that are in this room. I want you to know that I've been praying for every one of you today. Some of you, you would say, This makes zero sense because I don't have a relationship with God. And we say, we welcome you here. We are so glad you're here tonight. And if you want to learn what it means to become a Christian and you want that relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk with you. Any of our leaders that have the t-shirt or the lanyard, you could come and talk with me. We would love to speak with you. Some of you, you are a Christian, but it's never dawned on you that relationship with God is more than just coming to church. And so when it comes to your relationship with God, it doesn't really take place. It's not really happening. You're kind of maybe going through the motions. You come to church and it's great, but there's more to it. For some of you, maybe you're a Christian and you've just never thought about the idea of godliness or opening up the Bible away from when we're at M12 or here on a Sunday. And I want you to know that every single one of you are in good company tonight. All of us have struggles. All of us have pressure. Clutch when it matters the most. Sometimes we come through and sometimes we don't. But here's what I want you to know. Paul was talking to Timothy, disciple Timothy. He said, godly training is a value of this life and the life to come in eternity. And what was he talking about? He talked about this another time in another book. He wrote to the Corinthians. He said this, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. There it is again, training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You see, Paul was familiar with the Corinthian church. All the Corinthians, these people were very familiar with competition, very familiar with games, with races. As a matter of fact, they had a race that would happen every 2 to 3 years, often just like the Olympics, and it was a 600-foot race that people would run. And all of them would run. And what he's saying is, listen, physically, only one person gets the prize. But see, when we're talking about the race of eternity, you're not running against anyone else. It's not a competition between you and anybody else. The competition is yourself. What's Paul saying? He's saying you have to train yourself in godliness. You have to train every single day, day by day by day by day, in the flow of life, in the mundane of life, when it doesn't make sense, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know the answer, you still train. Because he says, these people that run this race, man, they do it to get a crown and only one gets the prize. But listen, we do it to get the crown that will last forever. He's talking about life with Jesus. He's talking about living life in heaven with God Almighty. That's what Paul is referring to here. And he's saying that when it comes to coming through in the clutch, when it matters most, it's not about talent, it's not about luck. It's training. It's hard work. It's training. But see, a lot of times what we think is it's about this big, huge experience, this mountaintop experience where we go to summer camp or we go to dig and we experience God in a way we never have. And understand, man, I love big events. I was saved. I gave my life to Christ at summer camp when I was 17. So big events matter. But even more than that, students, it's the everyday life. It's training every single day. And so what I want to do is I want to challenge you guys with something tonight. And I am well aware that some of you will accept it and some of you will not. And that's totally fine. It is completely your call. But if I want to challenge you with training. And you ask yourself, well, man, how do I train? What do I do? You read the Word. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Three quick things and then we'll get out. The first thing is this. You pick a time when you're at your best. So in other words, every day, pick a time. Pick a time when you are at your best. For me, I have to spend time with Jesus before I leave my house. If I don't do that, my day does not go well. My joy is gone. I feel purposeless. I feel like I can't win. So for me personally, I have to spend time with Jesus. My time is in the morning. Maybe you're a night person. You love to be a night owl. And so maybe for you, it's better at night. But pick a time, and pick a time when you're at your best. Don't pick a time when you're grouchy. Don't pick a time where you hate life. For me, that's in the mornings, but it's a discipline for me. I'm not a morning person, but I know that I have to spend time with God before I leave. So pick a time when you're at your best. Secondly, this, pick a place where you won't get distracted. When it comes to spending time with God, one of the biggest enemies of that is our phone. And here's my promise to you. I promise that when you're done spending time with God, Instagram will still be there. Like, it ain't going nowhere, right? So pick a place where you're not going to get distracted. For you, maybe that's in your bedroom. Maybe that's in the bathroom. Maybe that's in the living room. I don't know. Pick a place where you have privacy. Thirdly is this. Have a plan. Have a plan. See, a lot of times when it comes to daily training, when it comes to training your mind, when it comes to getting in the Bible, We never do that because we don't know where to go. We don't know what to read. We don't know where to begin. It's just so confusing, or there's so much in here and I don't know how to navigate it. Hey, you're in good company. Sometimes I feel the same way. Sometimes I don't know where to go or what to read. And that's why I use this application on my phone, or I go to this website called YouVersion.com. And here's what I want to challenge you guys with. Here's the challenge of this series of the month of March is I want to challenge you guys to jump in and on an opportunity that I think has some really significant power to change your life. There's a Bible plan, and it's called It Starts With Me. And I've got some pictures. I want you to see how this works. You go to YouVersion.com. This is what you're going to see. Once you go to YouVersion.com, you set up a profile. It's completely free. They're not going to email you. They're not going to inundate you with emails. You set up an account. Then you go to reading plans like that. Then you go to the next picture. You're going to go to all plans. And you're looking at the bottom. You see the bottom where it says youth. They have Bible plans that are specific for you. Specific for youth. It's awesome. You go to youth. And then you go all the way down. If you're on the computer, you're going to scroll down to page 3, I believe. And if you're on your phone, you're going to scroll all the way down to the bottom to this 21-day plan. It's called It Starts With Me. And here's what I would tell you. You click on that plan. Here's what's going to happen. This is going to be on the side. You can't see it right now, but what happens is every day there's a little devotional thought, a little story about somebody. It's got a couple passages of scripture that they want you to read. Some questions that they ask you, ways that you can pray and journal. And I'm telling you, students, if you commit to daily training, this will change your life. Tonight, you're going to get some information about this in your small groups, and I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to take on the 21-day challenge. And here's the thing. When you do something for 21 days, there is a good chance that it will become a habit. That it will just become like second nature for you to say, man, I got to spend time with Jesus. I got to train. I got to work hard. Because again, coming through when it matters the most, coming through in the clutch, has nothing to do with talent, nothing to do with any of those things. Luck, but it has to do with training. So let me pray for us and we'll get out of here. God, we love you so much. We thank you. You're so good. And we pray, God, that as we go away from here, that you would give us a desire for your word to train daily, to train to be more like Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.